You know, maybe I'm too young for God to use me. Maybe I'm too old for God to use me. You know, maybe I don't know enough about the Bible. I didn't go to seminary. And I think, oh, that's not it. That's mm-hmm. not it. It is that willing heart that says, I'm not going to worry about what everyone else thinks. I'm not going to worry about a formula. I am going to listen to the Holy Spirit and respond.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, More Than Small Talk friends. We have someone with us today that we are so excited about. Lisa Whittle is a fellow author, podcaster, speaker, and someone who is chasing the heart of God hard and will help you do the same. So, Suze, tell us a little bit more about our friend Lisa.
So, Lisa, I've known you, I don't know how many years, long time.
A long time.
A long time. So, I'm going to read this official bio about her. But before I start, I just want to say that Lisa has a genuine heart for God and a genuine heart for women. And I love her fun, funky style. I love her sassy self. But I also love the heart of what I'm finding in this book as I'm reading it personally. So Lisa Whittle is a best-selling author, speaker, podcast host, and ministry leader. She's authored 9 books, including Jesus Over Everything and God Knows. And her most recent book, I Want God, How to Love Him with Your Whole Heart and Revive Your Soul. She's a sought-after Bible teacher and host of the popular Jesus Over Everything podcast. And she's a wife, a mom, a lover of laughter, good food, and the Bible. And I love this, and a feisty work in progress. So welcome, 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 Lisa.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here with amazing women. What a Friday.
Well, we are so excited to have you with us and just to hear from you. And I have just been kind of taken back by certain phrases, the sick of me spiral. I love that because I think that we all get there. But this idea of chasing lesser desires, there's one quote, but the eating a lot, drinking a lot, shopping a lot, making more money thing isn't working so well. We are more depressed than we've ever been, more reckless than we've ever been, less satisfied than we've ever been, and hurting more too. I was like, wow, you just described so many of us. Can you speak to that and what it means and how important it is for desire and how crucial it is and how those desires shouldn't be overlooked?
Well, I mean, a lot of this is just my own autobiography, you know? It's places that I've been myself, and it's just taking my own inventory year after year, day after day. I'm not young, so I have a lot to draw from, and I'm thinking about my own life and just conversations with other people, and also just being an observer of the world, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and say, we have more choices than ever before. We have more ways to make ourselves comfortable than ever before. We have more options than ever before. And yet we are struggling more than ever before. Yes. And so just do the math. Just do the math and say, it can't be that it is just one more way to make our bed the most comfortable. And I use that example because I am out in a quest to make my bed the most comfortable bed that's ever been in the history of beds. Right? I love to sleep. Does that tell you anything about me? But, you know, it's the reality of, like, we can come up with the most comfortable shoe that we've ever come up with in the history of mankind. And we can come up with the most convenient way to do whatever. But is that really going to bring us the best life now? Is that going to bring us the most happiness we've ever had? I think we all know the answer to that. And yet we keep trying. I mean, a part of that really was marked by my reading in the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. And believe it or not, it was like this place where it says your wages are you're putting them in pockets filled with holes. And it was this word picture of, like, we're putting money in our pockets. Well, back in the Old Testament, this was the analogy, right? You're putting money in your pockets, but it's like your pockets are filled with holes. And it just made me think about what we're doing here. We're making a lot of money, but it's like it's going right through our pockets. And so that just led me to just this whole look at our lives. And I just think we can draw a lot from those Old Testament pictures.
Yeah. Well, when I was reading this, my thought as an author was, okay, Lisa, you wrote this book originally about 10 years ago.
Yeah, over a decade ago.
Okay. So here you are now. I know that you have changed in 10 years. We all do. So First of all, why did you write it the first place? But why did you bring it back? And how has your view of this topic, I Want God, changed in any way?
Oh, Susie, I have always loved this book in a way that felt wrong to my other books, if I'm being completely honest. Writing this book, but really more of what led to the writing of this book, was a transformation of my life in ways that I've never been the same. And when I think about it, it brings actual tears to my eyes. It broke chains off of me in ways that I've never revisited. And so in a lot of ways, writing it a decade ago was the right time. I can't say that it was the wrong time, because I believe in Kairos time. I believe in right on time. I believe in God's providence. And I know that it was for that moment. But I always lamented the fact that in some ways it felt before its time. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it felt like there was such a small margin of people that read it. But the ones that did, it just rocked them in such a profound way. They were people that said, I read this book 6 times. I read this book every year. I want to throw this book across the room because of how it's actually working in my heart, chapter 1. And I'm like, same. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I felt at that moment. That when I was actually in this moment of where we could bring it back, and I had a team who now really wanted to do that, it felt very providential again, because I can't think of a more appropriate moment that this word speaks into the current culture, especially the current Christian culture, where we're talking a lot about revival. And yet over a decade ago, God really spoke to me to research revivals. But even more than that, He revived my own heart, a mm-hmm. place that I needed so desperately Him to believe that He could do for me, and He did it. And so it just felt right, Susie. Yeah. It felt right. It felt like the right moment to bring it back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you tell the story of Flory Evans in the book. Can you tell that story to our listeners too?
Yeah. Flory Evans was really, by all accounts, a teenager that had just come to know Christ, a brand new believer. And when the Lord really compelled me to start doing some research into revival, something I'd never done before in all of my growing up in church, I came upon the Welsh revival of the early 1900s. And Flory Evans was said to be a real catalyst of that movement. Just a brand new Christian, went into church, a gathering, didn't know the rules of the pew that say, hey, you just need to sit down and observe and let things happen in the formulaic way often we do church. And she was said to have stood up in church and said the words, I love Jesus with all my heart. And in that moment, just something happened. The Holy Spirit moved and revival broke out in that space. Mm-hmm. And I just often think about the fact that we think, oh, you know, maybe I'm too young for God to use me. Maybe I'm too old for God to use me. You know, maybe I don't know enough about the Bible. I didn't go to seminary. And I think, oh, that's not it. That's mm-hmm. not it. It is that willing heart that says, I'm not going to worry about what everyone else thinks. I'm not going to worry about a formula. I am going to listen to the Holy Spirit and respond. And that's what Flory Evans did.
Mm-hmm. That is powerful. So what is your hope for the woman who's reading this? And I'll just put myself in this chair so nobody else will feel awkward. I told my friends here around the table when I walked in this morning, I said, you know, I read on Kindle every single day. I read multiple books a week. It's something that I love to do. And I said, I'm going to have to order this book. I want God so that I can highlight it and so that I can reread it because it's meeting a longing in my soul. And in the midst of a culture where right now people are very fractured in faith, people don't know what to believe. People are trying to take away what has been piled on top of faith so they can understand who even Jesus is. And so a lot of us are walking around with a heart that feels a little wounded when it comes to faith. What is your hope for the woman as she sits down and cracks open this book? What are you praying over her? What do you hope happens for her?
First of all, I'm humbled by your words, Susie, a woman of great faith yourself. And so thank you for that. I think my hope would be that, first of all, that you will give this book a chance and thus give God a chance to do what he can do, what only he can do, which is revive a weariness of your soul, perhaps a deadness of your soul. It is certainly what he has done for me. You know, I would say most of life, and I think my husband and family would agree, with some level of skepticism and a bit of jadedness. And I don't say that as a prize or in any way bragging. I say that with a little bit of lament because I've seen a lot myself. You know, when you grow up a pastor's daughter, there's just, it kind of goes with the territory, I would say. And then my father had a very public ministry fall. So you add that to the mix and things can get a bit complicated. But, you know, I have loved Jesus since I was 6 years old. And I document that in this book, actually, my own salvation experience. I've also loved me. And that's sort of been the rub of my life. I think what has been slower for me to kind of understand through my own mistakes and through things that have happened to me without my permission by the hand of other folks and their decisions is how deeply God has loved me. And I think, Susie, that I want women, and it is a book for both men and women, but I want people that open this book to be drawn to the creator that loves them so much and in turn understand that that reciprocal desire will drive all of their decision-making. It will drive everything else. For so long, we've just tried to check boxes and hoped for some kind of compelling cause that would compel us enough to drive us into some type of action that would please the heart of God. And I just want to say to folks that that's never been enough, at least for me.
Right.
And it is the compelling desire for God that will drive everything else and will be the thing that in the end will be enough and will be all you have when it's just you and God and you take your final breath.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Because I've been saying for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, Jesus, you stand. You do. My faith stands. You stand. Your example stands, your words stand, your love stands. And it's a reminder to me to kind of shut down the hype so I can tune into God. So it's beautiful.
So what do you feel like gets in the way? You really unpack that in the book. So for example, you did a chapter about popularity and talked about going to a concert with your daughter. can you retell that story and then share with us how, for example, God can meet that desire when we want him first?
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, Holly, I think a lot of people don't think of themselves as desiring popularity because that's for high school. Right. But as we get older, popularity takes on the different face of approval. Really, it's just approval. That's all it is. Will you approve of me? Do I have the right house? Do I have the right body? Do I have the right husband? Do I have the perfect kids? Do I have the right house? I already said that. This is where my brain is. I really want you to know that I want the right house. But yeah, it's all of those things. And we all want to be approved of by other people. That dies hard. That goes to our grave with us, honestly. And it's men and women. With men, it's often our jobs. But with women, it's, you know, it's with our friendships often. I took my daughter to a concert when she was a preteen, and it was a young man who has been popular for many, many years. And it's a funny story, but I remember that as he stood in front of this sea of screaming females from the tween age to the mama age, way older than should be screaming and wearing purple shirts and glitter, I remember thinking to myself, you know, at one point, it was all about the music for this kid because he's super talented, right? But now it's about the machine. Now it's about pleasing us. We're the people that he's got to respond to and answer to and all of those kinds of things. And I understand this on a very small level, and you do too as authors, as you get to the point where then it becomes about how can I promote and how can I do this and how can I please the audience and all of those kinds of things. And social media has made that so very complicated. But that's what happens with popularity and with approval. At certain point, when it's about approval, it changes the conversations we have. It changes the things we're willing to fight for. It changes all of our relationships in some way, because it can't be about the purity of what we've been called to do and about the things that we know in our gut and in our spirit that God has asked us to lead out in and talk about, even on social media, off of social media, and in conversations with our neighbors, perhaps. And it just changes things. And so when we want that more than we want God and more than we want the kingdom of God, our behavior is not the same. And so I'm just compelling us to take a look at that, because many times in my life, that has marked the way that I have behaved.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, we only have a couple of more minutes with you. I wish we had all day. You added a couple of tools in this book that I thought was really powerful. And one was some introspective questions. And as I was going through those, the one that kind of caught my attention was, I'm convinced I can properly prepare myself for a God-sized undertaking, true or false. And the Lord and I had to sit there for a minute and talk about that. But that was a really great tool. But also there were these 40 days of fasting. It was so different than anything that I've seen when it comes to fasting. And I just want to read a couple. Number one, I will prayerfully resist from casting any judgment today. What a beautiful way to fast. Number two, today I will seek to not settle for comfort by doing something that stretches me. Can you share a little bit about why you added those and what you're hoping for there?
Yeah, we really felt compelled to add these because, one, revival and fasting and prayer, those are things that are very synonymous. They go together, right?
I mean, yeah.
You never see a movement of revival, whether it's in your own heart, whether it's corporate. By the way, by the time you get to a corporate revival setting, things have already been happening individually in folks' hearts. But you never see revival without prayer and repentance and fasting. You just don't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a great resource, but it's a great resource all throughout the year, because fasting as a practice for believers is really important. And I think we think about this as going without food for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you do that. Certainly that's powerful. But I've fasted from shopping. I've fasted from social media. I've fasted from TV. I've fasted from a lot of different things. And I think what I wanted to accomplish here with these 40-day fasts are presenting to people the idea of there's a lot of things that you can fast from that you've probably not thought of before. I mean, we don't go without, you know, a lot of things, let's put it that way. But how often have you thought about fasting from gossip?
Right.
You know, how often have you thought about fasting from comfort in a way that you actually go out and do something that stretches you? I know that when God has asked me to do something that I don't normally do, and I have responded to it in that moment rather than getting past the moment that was the moment of tension, right? Where I could say yes or no to God, it has become a real powerful, pivotal moment in my life. And so I just wanted to present those to folks and say, here are some ways that you can fast And it could really change your life and break some things off of you. At least it's a start. And I hope that folks will utilize it as such.
Yeah. Well, as we close out with you today, I just want to read something that was within the pages of I Want God by Lisa Whittle. Said, if you want me most, your life might be shipwrecked. But in the midst of the storm, you'll feel my breath on your skin. You'll drink from a bitter cup of physical loss, but you'll also drink in my blood. Do you want the privilege of walking beside me skin to skin close, but walking away from position and comfort and wealth and all the things that are supposed to make you happy? Are you ready for the Jesus life? And that's beautiful, Lisa. They can find out more about you at lisawhittle.com, correct? And the books are available everywhere. Thank you for being a guest with us today. And I pray this book just reaches the heart of many.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.